When I was a young boy, I often found myself copying what my dad was doing. I'd pretend to be like him. I'd watch him working around the house or out in the garden, and I'd try and join in. If he was digging the garden, planting some vegetables, I'd try and get my little spade and start digging away as well. And if he was sawing wood, fixing something, building something, I'd get my little saw out. It was a dinky little thing from a carpenter set, and I'd be cutting away too. That worked quite well until I took things into my own hands and sawed through the arm of a chair one day. But I'd watch my dad, I'd watch his every move, and I'd try to be like him. And all these years later, I find myself in the role of my father and my own children in my place. And my daughter Ruth, who's out in Sunday school just now, she wants to join in with gardening and DIY. She's a dab hand with a file and a block of wood clamped into the workmate. And even Caleb, at the age of just one, is watching and trying to copy what I'm doing. As children, we watch our parents and we try to be like them. And likewise, the Apostle Paul reminds the Ephesian audience of the importance of imitating God. He said, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Imitating God requires a desire and a discipline that attempts to live a life that reflects the image of God. And the Apostle Paul prefaces the entirety of Ephesians 5 with a personal and communal challenge to live like God. Be imitators of God, he says. Be imitators as dearly loved children. Well, the first thing that seems clear is that living obediently under God requires walking very carefully. We need to watch our step. The message of this passage, which we have read together from Ephesians 5, is a very straightforward message. The followers of Jesus Christ, Paul says, must be careful to live a Christian life. Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. Pay attention, Paul tells his friends in Ephesus. Pay attention, pay close attention. Pay attention closely and pay attention to things close by. Pay attention to the important things, and indeed pay attention to all things. Pay attention now and keep paying attention. One of my favourite films is this film, Groundhog Day. There's an old belief that everyone is rewarded with the heaven or hell that they deserve. And in the film Groundhog Day, for Phil Connors, the nasty, self-centered weather forecaster who's played by Bill Murray, that hell reveals itself one morning in the groundhog capital of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. He's sent there with a camera crew to film the groundhog coming out of its cage. And for Phil, Groundhog Day will repeat itself over and over and over again, apparently until the end of time. And Phil will be permanently condemned to cover it. He is quite literally a man without a future. He finds himself stuck in time. Every morning he wakes up, the alarm rings, and it's the same day. He looks out the window, and the same things are happening. And at first he's horrified. But then he realizes that if he pays attention, he can take advantage of what he's already learned from living through the day before. And eventually he realizes that he has the opportunity to make the most of the day. The only real change that will ever be possible is a change that must happen within himself. And it's at this point that he takes up things like learning the piano. He begins reading. He learns to ice sculpt. But if it weren't for his unique predicament, he'd never have realised this. In his routine at the TV studio back in Pittsburgh, we surmise there was always something changing and not changing. It's interesting that Phil, in this film, is a weatherman. For the weather's a perfect metaphor for something that changes constantly without, in the long term, changing much at all. And we can be distracted by the superficial changes in the world around us and forget that the real change in our life must come from allowing God to change us from within. The Apostle Paul says to us, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, making the most of the time." Be careful how you live. The Greek says something like, "See to things very carefully." And the adverb "carefully" underlines the need for the utmost concentration on leading the good life, the wise life, the life that makes the most of time. As followers of Christ Jesus, we live in a state of reality that reminds us that the stakes are high in our following. Because we do follow Jesus Christ, we dare not follow our own foolish paths. The world offers a path of foolishness that is counter to the life of Christ. And we have lived in the foolishness of the past. And when we dared to follow Jesus Christ, we declared that we would leave our old life behind. And that means our living has demands placed upon it. One of these demands is not wasting the gift of time. The Apostle Paul's words are a haunting reminder for those of us who waste and whittle away God's gift of time to us. As wise people, it's imperative that we don't invest in the meaninglessness and the foolishness that surrounds us. Life is too short and the opportunity is too great not to live faithfully. As followers of Jesus Christ, our goal is to keep our spiritual antenna extended and alert to every opportunity. That's the meaning of Paul's words about making the most of the time. We are to be diligent, looking for chances to be faithful. Every moment of life is pregnant with great opportunity to bear witness to the love of God, our Heavenly Father. The problem is that in our lives, we may often squander time. Sometimes even in church life, we spend so long talking about doing things that we never quite get around to doing them. When we get bogged down in the detail and in the how-to, we squander the opportunities for spontaneously moving with the Holy Spirit. Often we squander abundant opportunity to bear witness to our faith. And not only do we waste earthly time, but we waste kingdom time. Now the key to this waste-free, opportunity-laden lifestyle is very simple. Paul tells us to understand what the will of the Lord is. At the core of Christian discipleship is a very simple premise. Discipleship is about obedience. Walking wisely, watching our step, means that we walk in obedience to God. It's far more encompassing than merely believing the right things, for we must be doing them as well. A correct system of belief is important, but it's not the only thing. It's not only important to believe the right things, but also to live the right way. Now, many people apparently believe that one can be accomplished without the other. Some get so bogged down with the letter of the law that they never actually find themselves at the cutting edge of living out the faith. But then there are others who are so busy trying to be seen to be doing the right thing that they all but throw out the belief system through which they came to faith. And when the balance is lost between right thinking and right living, well, the consequences that follow can be quite horrific. On occasion, the Lord's will is lost in our will. And the Apostle Paul is very careful to remind all Christian followers that we desire to follow God. Nothing else matters. So wise living is living not under our own power, but under the control of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that enlivens and empowers us towards faithful and obedient living. And Paul's great emphasis is rightly placed. Follow the Spirit of God and live wisely, he says. Follow the foolishness of self and live irresponsibly. You see, at stake in this matter is how we manage both God's time and our lives. There are choices to make and priorities to arrange, and the exercise is a daily battle. Priorities that are once settled are not always settled. There's a constant struggle to do the right thing. It's also a struggle that cannot be waged alone. We need God to help us. We need God to direct us. We need God's Spirit to enable us to make the appropriate value judgments in life. Some things matter in life. Other things don't matter quite so much. That's what a godly life espouses. It lives under the power of the Holy Spirit to make good choices and as a result to live good lives. And in so doing, we watch every step that we take. Be very careful then, Paul says. Be very careful then how you live, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Well, there's a phrase that we try to avoid, because when we talk about evil, it involves us in controversy. And being controversial makes us uncomfortable, and we all seek the comfortable life, don't we? Well, we could go on and talk instead about a biblical attitude to wine, or singing, or communicating with each other, and these are all interesting things, but today that other stuff will have to wait for another time. For now, it's important to say that when the world is evil, that is when it distracts us from what is good, when it would have us turn aside from the way we should go, we have to turn aside from it. Now, in these days, we may have to turn away from the world to pay attention to God's will. That's not saying we need to escape the world. There's nothing in the letter to the Ephesians about Paul suggesting that these followers of Christ are to leave Ephesus, to go out into the desert and make a life apart from the world. Not at all, for they are to be wise. When Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 that they are to be as wise as serpents, it's because he's sending them out into the world like sheep into the midst of wolves. And when the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians and tells them to put on the whole armor of God, it is so that they may do battle against the powers of this present darkness, powers that are in the world. But our passage today, verse 15 to 20, it doesn't end in darkness. Far from it. In fact, the passage focuses its own attention on the final verses. Don't get drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit as you speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the business of paying attention, of paying close attention, of keeping on paying attention to the important things, even of turning away from the distractions of the world to do so, this is not dismal work. The Christians in Ephesus were not to be dismal people. Do you know, there are some churches where people gather on a Sunday morning and they worship differently from how we worship. I've been at churches where there's dancing and flag waving and arms are in the air and people are singing in tongues and talking in tongues, and it seems chaotic when you go into it until you realise that that's just another way of worshipping God and giving God alone the glory. We see that in this country, in Africa, in the churches in Africa, we hear that is the worship that is the norm, the spontaneous, spirit-filled, loud, effervescent worship. But as great as that stuff is, it does not take in the whole of the counsel of the writer Paul as he writes to the Ephesians. For Paul is not talking only about worship or even about worship first. He's talking about the whole of life. The Christian life may require paying attention, but it's not a dismal, paint-by-the-numbers kind of lifestyle. The Christian life is not meant to be a dismal task at all. Sometimes it's hard, but the hard times are invariably followed by times of great joy and great blessing. A bit like a student under the grindstone in exam times, and that same student partying like there's no tomorrow when all the hard work brings exam success. We're meant to be joyful, spirit-filled people. How we express that in worship, yes, it's different. But in our lives, we are to know the joy of the living God. So stop and pay attention, not to the world. Don't listen to the world. Listen to the word of God. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Always giving thanks for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To God alone be the glory. Amen.